Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Perfect unity. Is that a pious fiction? You may have heard about the man that was discovered on a desert island. He was alone for decades and he learned how to fish and hunt and provide for himself. When he was found, the people asked about three buildings that had been built on the island. And he said, well, the first building is my house. I build it for shelter. I live in there and sleep in there every night. What's the second building? Well, after a number of years, I decided that I needed to worship God. And so I built a church. And so what is the third building, they asked, thinking it was a storage facility or something like that. He said, well, a couple of years ago, there was a disagreement in the church and it split. Is that possible? One person, you know, I've heard it said, if there's eight people, there are nine opinions. Paul is writing to the Corinthians in our text. And he is seeking after and confronting the fact of unity in the church. And there isn't enough unity in their congregation. The Corinthian congregation is afflicted with what you might call party spirit. And it's creating a division and quarreling and problems within the community. Some of them believe that they would want to do it Paul's way, and some Cephas's or Peter's way, some Apollos's way. And some even use the term, I follow Christ, which is on your bulletin, as a sign that they need to be divided from the others, because Christ wouldn't do it that way. Christians wouldn't behave that way. And Paul confronts this by saying to them, is Christ divided? Shouldn't the church be unified? He's very clear about this, and he goes through many, many pages in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, striving for the teaching that will promote unity in the congregation. But is that a pious fiction? A look at the word that Paul chooses for unity is very instructive. It was a word that meant joined up or joined down. Kat artizo. And it was used in the household for many different things. It can be sort of like a puzzle that Pastor LeBou talked about last week. Fitting together. Every piece is different, but it fits together into one picture. But the word in Greek can be used of a recipe that is properly put together with the right amounts of each ingredient and prepared in the right way so that it comes together and goes on the table to be a pleasing source of food. The word about unity can also be used to describe a quilt or a garment that's sewn from different scraps of fabric. Dolly Parton sings a famous country song called A Coat of Many Colors, about a coat that her mom made for her out of rags, and it had many different colors. And she was very proud of it, but other people made fun of it. It was well put together in her mind. It can also be used in at the drugstore, the apothecary, of a medicine that is properly measured and put together in a proper way. Or the word can be used, as it is in Matthew chapter 4, 21, of a fish net. Fishnets have to be mended. They have to be whole and put together, strung together in the right way, or the fish escape, especially if there are holes there. In Latin, the word is un animus, one spirit, from which we get our famous word unanimous. Now, when churches have to make decisions, it is vital and important that they be of one mind and one purpose. But churches have to make thousands of decisions. And how are we going to do that? We need the unity of the Spirit. For example, we're going to paint the church. That takes thousands of decisions. Somebody has to decide the color. Somebody has to figure out where the money will come from for the supplies. And then how are you going to get up the wall to the highest points so that it is done in a whole and good-looking way? Otherwise, we're better off not painting at all. I don't even want to go there of having a big paint fight. That would not be good. I just thought of that. Anyway, the unity that we need as a congregation can extend to some other decisions, like when to have worship services. And we're deciding that right now. Or how to structure our church constitution, as was in the letter that you got in your mail this week. The threat is that disagreements will tear us apart and make us ineffective as God's missionaries in this community. Max Lucado tells a story in his book, In the Eye of the Storm, of a time when he went fishing during March break. He was allowed to bring a friend named Mark along, and they went with his dad, camped near the lake where they were going to fish all week. But the first day, they woke up, and it was pouring a cold rain. And so they tried to make the best of it by sitting in the camper, playing Monopoly and reading the Reader's Digest and waiting until the rain cleared. And though their spirits were dampened, they looked forward to fishing tomorrow when they went to bed. They woke up, though, and there was no rain. It was all ice. They could barely get the camper door open, he says. And that meant that they wouldn't be fishing that day either, but staying inside and playing another game of Monopoly and reading over the Reader's Digest stories once again. And he discovered something. That his friend Mark wasn't all that nice of a fellow after all. They couldn't even agree on whether Mark's socks stunk. Mark didn't think they did, and Max was sure they did. And his dad was no help at all, because he wouldn't referee. Max Lucado writes, I learned a hard lesson that week. Not about fishing, but about people. When those who are called to fish don't fish, they fight. When energy intended to be used outside is used inside, the result is explosive. Instead of casting nets, we cast stones. Instead of extending helping hands, we point accusing fingers. Instead of being fishers of the lost, we become critics of the saved. Rather than helping the hurting, we hurt the helpers. The result? Church Scrooges. Bah humbug spirituality, beady eyes searching for warts on others while ignoring the warts on the nose below. Crooked fingers that bypass strengths and point out weaknesses. Split churches. Poor testimonies. Broken hearts. And sadly, poor go unfed, confused go uncounseled, and lost go unreached. When those who are called to fish don't fish, they fight. But note the other side of this fish tale. When those who are called to fish do fish, they flourish. What is Jesus doing to unite us, so that our unity is not a pious idea that is a fiction, but is a reality that actually holds us together in the midst of trial and temptation? Well, there are three things, I think, that keep us together, and they are taught by Jesus in our gospel today. They are alluded to in the words of Paul when he says, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. First of all, when Jesus came to preach the gospel to people, he did it in a very incarnate fashion. So he was helping them in many ways. But the very first thing he said was, repent. Did you ever wonder why? Well, it's because disunity is a disease of the heart. It's a disease. And when we repent, we put aside the individual selfishness that we have because we know that our selfishness is not perfect. And we say, God, I lay myself at your feet. I lay my sins on Jesus. Please forgive me. And unite me as a loaf is baked into one piece of bread for many grains. Or as a chalice is filled with the crushed juice of many grapes, we are brought together by repentance, by laying aside our sinful selfishness and saying, let's do it God's way. Jesus, heal us. Heal the brokenness in our hearts the way you heal the brokenness in our bodies and minds and spirits. The second thing is prayer. If we are going to know the way to go, we need to ask for Jesus' light. There are many times when we don't even know what to ask for. We need to pray for wisdom to know what to ask for. What to pray when we wake up in the morning. What to say when we go to bed at night to God. A lot of times we forget that something could be asked for that is not asked for simply because we weren't wise enough to know what to ask. Jesus' light shows us problems to pray about. Jesus' light shows us the answers. So number one, repentance. Number two, prayer. And they bring us together. Number three is teamwork. What did Jesus do? One of the very first things was to start to assemble his team. And he chose these fishermen. And he said, I'm going to change your job description so you're catching people instead of fish. He put them together as a team. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul uses a word that talks about being of one mind. And the word means striving as fellow athletes. In other words, you're on a team together. And you're out to win the prize. And what unity comes from winning together? As a congregation, we can win the battle against evil that infects people's lives. We can bring the sick and the troubled to Jesus as they did in the days of old. We can receive His healing, His answers to our prayers, His light. And we can receive His coaching and direction as we listen to His word. He answers us by washing us, by feeding us, and by guiding us with instructions where to go and what's important. Martin Luther believed in the unity of the church. This is what he wrote in the Large Catechism. I believe that there is on earth a little holy group and congregation of pure saints, under one head, even Christ. This group is called together by the Holy Spirit in one faith, one mind, and understanding, with many different gifts, yet agreeing in love, without sects or schisms. Is Gethsemane Lutheran Church united? We are not, insofar as we look to human perfection or human wisdom. But seeking God's wisdom, God's direction, God's mission to help people out of their sins and death, giving the gift of eternal life to people. That is something only Christ can do and those who follow Him. He is the Prince of Peace. Amen. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.